Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
How's everybody going?
Good.
You may be seated. You may be seated. So good to see the fam here. Hey, anybody adjusting well to daylight savings? I'm not. Still getting there. Hey, I'm so excited to share the word with you guys today. You guys have been on my heart. We've been praying about you heaps. Me and Vance have been praying over you guys. We've been praying over the Westies.
Come on,
we love the Westies. I'm a Westie. And I'm really excited because I have a word that stirred up my faith as I was preparing for this Sunday. And my prayer is that it stirs your faith too. Is that cool? And I'm also excited because, as Vanya mentioned, it's Legacy Month. Come on, it's Legacy Month. And over the course of October, we are doing the Legacy Series. And as mentioned in the announcement, we're doing a Legacy Series because it's our 100-year anniversary. Come on, how good is that? Come on, why don't we honor God and praise God for that? Come on, give him a round of applause. Come on, that through this house, we've seen revival. Through this house, we've seen healing. Through this house, we've seen restoration. Come on, church. Through this house, we've seen deliverance. Through this house, we've seen provision. Through this house, we've seen blessing. Through this house, we've seen signs and wonders. Through this house, we've seen miracles. And through this house, we've seen salvation. Everybody shout amen. Amen. And as a son of this house, I want to say I love this house. I love this house. I love Pneuma Church. I especially love my Westies. Again, come on, where the Westies at? My Westies besties, as they call it. My Westies besties. Are we a perfect church? No. No, we're not. But which church ever is, right?
It's true.
Yes, we've had some trials. Yes, we've had some challenges. Yes, we've had some disappointments. But in this house, we've also witnessed the love of God. In this house, we've also witnessed His mercy. In this house, we've also witnessed His kindness, His goodness, His grace. In this house, we've also witnessed His faithfulness. You see, church, we may fail, but God won't. Huh. We may fail, but God won't. Bible tells us that His love endures forever and His faithfulness to all generation. And so I'm so excited for Legacy Series. And last week, Pastor Sonia kicked us off with the legacy of our yes. If you haven't heard it, make sure you go check out the podcast. It's up there. And how many of us know that if we want to be used by God to advance His kingdom, it begins with your yes. Yeah. It begins with your yes. You see, your yes to God leaves a lasting impact. When the Apostle Paul had a dramatic encounter with Jesus and said yes to God, you see, his yes to God didn't just change his timeline, it changed ours. His yes still echoes in our lives today. Our lives, Pneuma Church, are still impacted because of his yes. The same goes with C.L. Greenwood's yes. The same goes with A.C. Valdez's yes. You see, when one man says yes to God, generations are transformed.
Wow.
Church, I want to remind us, we are the fruit of faithful men and women of God because of their yes.
Yeah.
Can I encourage you, Pneuma Church, your yes to God leaves a lasting impact. And I want to challenge us over the course of this month, over the course of Legacy Series, as we talk about it. Hey, can I encourage us? Let's also have a responsibility to leave one. Is that okay? Let's just not talk about legacy, but let's also leave a legacy. Is that okay? Can we go from strength to strength? From glory to glory? Not just in our personal walk with Jesus, but for the next generation. Is that cool? See, when we leave something behind, they're building from a place of strength. The next generation should be building from a place of strength. And one of the ways that we can leave a legacy is to actually steward well what God has placed in our hands.
Right.
Whatever it may be, family, finance, ministry, business, whether it means to start saving financially and investing, whether it means to start discipling someone, whether it means to equip someone. The next generation should be better off because of our stewardship. Is that cool?
Yeah,
the next generation should be better off because of our stewardship. And Pneuma Church, again, I want to encourage us that as we talk about legacy, as we celebrate legacy, hey, let's also leave a legacy. Is that cool? All right, who's ready for the word? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. Verse 17 to 25. Should be on the screens behind me. But before I read the scriptures to you, I want to give us a bit of background. Who loves a good background? It's a good background story, you know? Abraham, Isaac's father, had already passed during this time. But while he was still alive, scripture tells us that Abraham was a sojourner. He was somewhat of a traveler. He did not quite yet have a permanent place. He was a sojourner. But you see, when God made a covenant with Abraham at the time, not only God would give Abraham an offspring to which there would be a great nation, but to his offspring, God promised him a land. He would give him a land. Genesis 12, verse 2 says this, "And I will make you a great nation," speaking to Abraham, "and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Genesis 12, 7 says this, "Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your offsprings, I will give this land.' So he built there an altar to the Lord who appeared to him." And so the Lord had promised Abraham that through his lineage, there would be a great nation. The Lord promised Abraham that through his lineage, there would be a land to claim. The Lord promised Abraham that through his lineage, they would be a blessing. Is everybody on pace so far?
Yeah.
And so fast forward to Gerar. Gerar is a place in the Philistine. Genesis 20 verse 1 says this, from there Abraham journeyed towards the territory of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And in chapter 21, we see Abraham and Abimelech, they have a discussion. They make a treaty with one another. Now, Abimelech is a Philistine king. He was the king of Gerar. So he tells Abraham, "Hey, Abraham, I want you to make an oath to me that you will not deal falsely with me because I've made you stay in my place. You know, I want you to not tell me lies. I want you to deal with me with integrity, since I've made you stay in my place in which I rule." Does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
And so Abraham's like, "All right, no worries. I can do that." And so Abraham's like, "Here, take 7 lambs as a witness that I have dug this well in this place, that I have claimed this place, that you have allowed me to stay in this place." So Abraham gives 7 lambs to King Abimelech as a witness to say, "This is the land that you've given me. This is a place that you've let me stay. So I'm going to dig a well." So it's almost like a contract. Genesis 21 verse 30 to 34 says this. He said, "These 7 ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well. Therefore, that this place was called Beersheba, because they're both of them swore an oath." So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistine. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistine. Is this making sense so far? I'm just giving us, again, the background, giving us the context. And so enter Genesis 26. We now come to the story of Isaac. By this time, Isaac's mother, Sarah, had passed away. His father, Abraham, had also passed away. Isaac marries a girl named Rebekah. They would have 2 boys, Esau and Jacob. Those names would have sound familiar to you. These 2 boys would eventually represent 2 nations. And just like his father, Isaac settled in Gerar. Okay. And just like his father, Isaac deals with King Abimelech. Now, during this time, there was a famine in the land. But for Isaac, he was very prosperous in the land in which he stayed. How good is that for him? Genesis 26 verse 12 says this, "And Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy." Come on. I'd love some of that. "He had a possession of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him." Because he was so prosperous in the land of Gerar, the locals were all hating on him. They're all jealous. They envied him. Verse 15, "That the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham." So as a result, what happened was, because they were envious of Isaac, because they were jealous of him, they filled the well with dirt. "And Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we.'" So now we pick up where the story, where Isaac, Abraham's son, redigs the wells of his father. Let's read together Genesis 26, verse 17. Again, it should be on the scriptures behind me. "So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again." Everybody say, "Dig again." Say it again, "Dig again." "The wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father, which the Philistine had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names that his father had given them." Verse 19. "But when Isaac's servant dug in the valley and found there was a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he called the name Esek, because they contended with him. And so they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So they called it, they named it Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he named it Rehoboth, saying, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in this land.'" Verse 23, "From there he went up to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him in the same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you. And I will bless you and multiply your offsprings for my servant Abraham's sake.' So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servant dug a well." I want to speak to you, church, from the title of Wells of Revival. Come on. Wells of Revival. Turn to the person next to you saying, "Time to redig the well." Come on, say it with conviction. Time to redig the well. Turn to the other side and say, "Time to come to the well." Time to come to the well. What does a well represent? Well, the well represents many things. In this context, they represent life. The well represents provision, a place where people get water from, whether it's for themselves, whether it's for the animals, or whether it's for the plants. It's a place of provision. It represents provision. But wells also represent a meeting place. So well, it's a gathering place. It's a social place. It's where people socialize as they get water. A well is also a place of refreshment. You can just imagine all sorts of people, all sorts of life, traveling from all different parts of the world, traveling in the heat of the day, and they see a well. How refreshing would that be? Yeah. A little bit of for them, you know? Some of us need some refreshing right now. Come on. Some of us need a little bit of You know when you drink an ice cold water in a hot summer day? Need a little bit of right now. Man, I'm getting thirsty. I'm actually going to get a drink. But wells also represent a place of encounter. We see in the book of John, the Samaritan woman encounters the Messiah. She encounters Jesus. Wells also represent your faith walk. When being discipled, you may be asked the question, how's your well? And I want to ask you the question, church, how's your well? How's your well? So the well can represents many things. It can represent many things. And I want to unpack the scripture with you and share a few pointers. And again, my prayer is that this word will stir your faith the way it stirred mine, that it will stir us to action, that it will stir us to respond. And, you know, in the end, we're actually going to come to an opportunity where we can actually do that, to respond to the word of God. Is that cool? And the first point I want to make is that we need to redig the wells. We need to redig the wells. Genesis 26, verse 17 to 18. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar where he settled. And Isaac dug again the wells that had been dug in the name of his father, Abraham. You see, when it comes to leaving a legacy, it's about the next generation continuing what the previous had already started. It's not for them to start all over again. And for Isaac, Abraham had already dug a well. You see, for Abraham, he didn't just dig a well to mark his place. No, he dug a well to claim his promise. Him digging a well was an act of faith. Abraham digging a well was Abraham stepping in to the promises of God. And unfortunately for Isaac, he was facing some opposition. He had become mightier than those around him. And so as a result, people envied him. People were jealous. People were hating. And so they tried to block the well by covering it with dirt. They tried to block the provision by covering the well with soil. But what I love about this scripture is that it did not stop Isaac from pursuing what God had for him. His response to adversity, his response to opposition was what? Was to redig the well. Despite the opposition, no, he was going to dig the well again. Can I encourage us, Numa Church, don't stop pursuing what God has for you. Don't stop pursuing what God has for you. Some of us are living on buried wells. Hello. Some of us are living on buried wells. The joy, the passion, the faith, the commitment, the dedication, the hunger that once flowed, that once was overflowing, has now been covered by dirt, has now been covered by disappointment, has now been covered by fear, has now been covered by sin or distraction or busyness. Numa Church, I want to encourage us. God is calling us to redig what the enemy has covered. Come on, somebody. God is calling us to redig what the enemy has covered. Come on, it's time to redig the wells of prayer. Come on, somebody. It's time to redig the wells of worship. It's time to redig the wells of hunger. It's time to redig the hunger for God's word. It's time to redig the hunger for God's presence. It's time to redig the hunger for God's power. Come on, church. It's time to redig the wells of revival. Psalm 85, 6 says, will you not revive us again, O Lord, so that your people may rejoice in you? O God, pour it out again, Lord. Pour it out again. We're hungry. I want to ask us, Human Church, what are some things in our lives that's been blocked up? What wells have been covered by the enemy? What are some things that we need to redig in our lives? I want to share with us a newsletter. It's a testimony, really. about the Sunshine Revival. It was issued on July 1st, 1926, and it says this. The founding of the Pentecostal Church of Australia really commenced at Sunshine, a suburb in Melbourne, in February 1925. In 1916, a small number of God's children began to pray for revival. And God heard their cries. Sinners came to this small meeting, were saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Until numbers greatly increased, it was laid upon their hearts to purchase a block of land upon which to build a church. This was done with the tithes and offerings of a few faithful ones, and the church was erected. Little did this small company of people know that God had in store for them. The very day that this church was opened, Brother A.C. Valdez arrived in Australia. Although this was not known by these people, 2 weeks later, on a Saturday night, he came to Sunshine to hold his first meeting, and that was the beginning of a mighty revival in Sunshine. During this campaign, the power of God was manifested in a mighty way. Sinners were converted. Many believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit and healed. Soon, the news spread that the Lord was pouring out His Spirit at Sunshine, and people came from near and far. Over 200 Christians from all denominations were baptized in the Holy Spirit in this blessed outpouring of the latter rain. Wow. What a powerful story. I don't know about you, but my faith is stirred. Yeah. Again, I want to encourage us that as we step into the next 100 years, it's time to redig the wells of revival. And what I love about this story, besides the fact there was many hungry men and women of God, is that God moved in the western suburbs. God moved in the western suburbs. Come on, church. The West belongs to God.
Come on.
The West belongs to Jesus. Come on, this is our heritage. This is our history. This is our spiritual inheritance. This is why it's so important that we need to redig the wells. Because if God can pour out a spirit 100 years ago, He can do it again. If God can perform signs and wonders 100 years ago, He can do it again. Come on. He can do it again. Just because the enemy buried the well, it doesn't mean there's no spring water underneath it. We just need to redig again. Come on. Turn to the neighbor and say, time to redig. Come on, say it with conviction. Time to redig. And Isaac dug the wells of water and dug in the days of Abraham, his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And gave them the names that his father has given him. But when Isaac's servant dug the valley and found their well was a spring of water. You see, God's promises still holds for you. God's promises still holds for you. God's calling for your life is still there. The Spirit is still flowing. We just need to redig. Numa Church, I want to ask us the question. Will you make a declaration to redig the wells today? Come on, I know I will. Will you make a declaration to take back and claim what God has for you? Come on. The next point I want to make is that we need to keep on digging. Keep on digging. Genesis chapter 26, verse 20 says this, but the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna. He moved from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now that the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. You see, when you get closer to God and what God has for your life, the louder the opposition becomes. You see, for Isaac, every time he dug a well, conflict would follow. You see, when you're walking into the direction of heaven, when you're walking in the calling that God has for you, the enemy will try its best to distract you. That the enemy will try its best to discourage you. The enemy will try its best to put doubt in you. All this so that the enemy can destroy you. So that you don't walk in the calling of God, in the calling that God has for you. So you don't walk into the promises that God has in store for you. But I want to encourage us, church. Jesus tells us that in Him we may have peace. In the world we will have trials and tribulations, but take heart. He has overcome the world. Jesus has already overcome the world. Keep on digging. I want to encourage us, church. The enemy is already defeated. It's all lies. The enemy is already defeated. Keep on digging. You see, for the Sunshine Revival, before the establishment of a Pentecostal church in 1925, there was a prayer meeting in 1916.
Wow.
And for 9 years, a group of hungry men and women of God was praying for an outpouring of the Spirit. They were praying for a mighty revival. You see, these guys kept on digging.
Come on.
They kept on digging. Imagine if they stopped in year 8 because nothing happened. Imagine if they stopped in year 7, year 5. Imagine if they stopped praying and praying for revival. Imagine if they stopped hungering for the move of God after a year because they didn't see nothing. They would have missed out what God had in store for them. I want to encourage us. Esek may have brought us contention. Sitna may have brought us enmity. But keep on digging until you find your Rehoboth. Keep on digging until you find your Rehoboth. You see, for Isaac, whenever he faced conflict, whenever he faced opposition, whenever he faced resistance, he did not stop digging. He kept going. He kept going. Isaac did not quit. He did not give up. And maybe for some of us, we feel like quitting. Maybe for some of us, we feel like giving up on life. It feels like we've done everything we can, but still no result. Can I encourage you? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 tells us this. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. Pneuma Church, keep on digging. Maybe for some of us, you've allowed opposition. Maybe for some of us, you've allowed offense. Maybe for some of us, you've allowed weariness. Maybe for some of us, you've allowed bitterness and unforgiveness to stop you from digging deeper into what God has for you. Can I challenge you? Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Give it to God. Give your battles to God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Give your frustrations to God. Give your hurt to God. Let Him heal you. Give your weariness to the Lord. Some of us are tired. Some of us are exhausted. Some of us have lost our joy. Some of us have lost our strength. Matthew 11, 28 says this, come to me, all those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hey, will you let God give you rest today? Will you rest in the presence of God today? And lastly, just keep on digging. Keep on digging because the Lord has something in store for you. He has a space for you. He has for you a Rehoboth. If I can get the band to come up. Is this helping anybody?
Good.
Lastly, we come to the well. Everybody say, come to the well. Say it again, come to the well. You see, again, for the Sunshine Revival, the newsletter tells us that people came far and near to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When they heard of the news of what was happening in Sunshine, people came far and near for the outpouring of the Spirit. You see, these people came to the well. Genesis chapter 26, verse 23 says this, "From there, Isaac went up to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him in the same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake.' So he built an altar there upon the name of the Lord and pitched a tent there, and there Isaac's servant dug a well." You see, after all the digging, after all the contention in Esek, after all the opposition at Sitna and the wide place at Rehoboth, God finally meets with Isaac personally. Yeah. You see, when you keep digging despite the resistance, God doesn't just give you water, He gives you Himself. God gives you Himself. Bible tells us that when we draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Church, will you draw near to God today so He can draw near to you? You see, the well isn't just a place of provision and promises. No, it's a place of presence. The well is a place of encounter. And in that encounter, God reassures Isaac. He reassures him. After all the battles that Isaac went through, after all the opposition that Isaac went through, after all the struggles that Isaac went through, he meets God personally and God reassures him. God tells him, "Fear not, for I am with you." God tells Isaac, "Fear not, for I will bless you." God tells Isaac, "Fear not, for I will multiply your offsprings." You see, God here reminds Isaac that God has not forgotten the promise. He reminds Isaac that God is with him. I want to encourage us, Numa Church, we may not see God moving. We may not hear Him all the time, but God is with us. And God is always moving. And so Isaac encounters God in Beersheba. He receives a revelation. He receives reassurance from the Lord. He receives reassurance from the Lord. And this was his response. Number one, he built an altar. He built an altar. His response was not to instantly celebrate the provision, but to worship the one who provided it. You see, the altar restores our focus. It reminds us that the well is not the source. No, but God is. God's the source of your provision. Numa Church, I want to ask you, will you respond to the altar today and give God the glory and honor and worship that God deserves? Come on. He worshiped the Lord. He knew where his provision came from. Number two, he pitched a tent. You see, after worshiping, he decided to stay in the presence of God. You see, the tent speaks of a dwelling place. And just as God made space for Isaac in Rehoboth, Isaac made space for God. And I want to ask you today, Numa Church, will you make space for God? Will you let Him move in your life? Will you be a dwelling place for the Lord? See, Isaac didn't just visit Beersheba. He stayed there. He stayed in the presence of God. You see, when we encounter God, He invites us to dwell, not just to drink. He invites us to dwell, not just to drink. The tent reminds us that revival is sustained not by events, but by habitation. Hunger of the presence of God. The hunger of the presence of God. Number three, he dug another well. You see, the encounter with God doesn't stop the work. It fuels it. It fuels the work. You see, what we do for the Lord is actually a response to His love. James 2:17 says this, "Faith without work is dead." And again, I want to encourage us, Numa Church, it's time to redig the wells of revival. Just like the ones before us who dug a well of revival, praying and contending for God to move, let us do the same for the next generation. Come on, let us do the same for the next generation. Why don't we stand? How's everybody going? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. don't we close our eyes? Maybe your well has been filled by disappointment. Maybe your well has been filled with exhaustion. Maybe your well has been filled with bitterness or fear. I just want to encourage you, God is saying today, it's time to redig the wells. The wells of prayer, the wells of faith, the wells of passion for His presence, the wells of hunger, the well of revival. I want to encourage us, although the well may be buried, there's still flowing water underneath it. There's still flowing water underneath it. Or maybe you've been drinking from the wrong well. You've been chasing success. You've been trying to chase the approval of man. You're trying to chase pleasure, but you're still thirsty. John 4:14 says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, Jesus speaking, he will never be thirsty again. Jesus says, come to me. Jesus is the living well. He's the living water that never runs dry. And so I want to ask us one last time in my church, will you redig the wells of revival? Will you come to the altar and make a declaration of faith and say, Lord, I'm going to pursue again what you have for me. I'm going to pursue again what you have for my family. I'm going to contend again what you have for my marriage. I'm going to contend again what you have for my business, for my finance. I'm going to contend again what you have for my health, Lord. Will you redig the well, church? Will you redig the well? And so, dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the word, O God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are always with us, Lord God. And Father, right now, won't you just touch our hearts, O God? Lord, as we remind ourselves of your goodness and all your mighty deeds, as we encourage ourselves in the Lord, Father, won't you just stir up our faith again, Lord God? Lord, won't you just give us a hunger for your presence, O Lord? Lord, won't you just give us a thirst for your presence, O God? Lord, I pray, do only what you can do in our lives, O God. Touch us again, O God. Father, we pray for a fresh outpouring of heaven, Lord. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us, Father. Pour out your Spirit upon us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love. And Lord, today, we make a declaration to redig again the wells of revival. And we come to the well. We come to your presence, O God. And so, Lord, I pray that as we worship, Lord, encounter us in a fresh way. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen, amen. Come on, why don't we worship God?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.